Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Amen. It's been a good day already. Amen. Oh, Merry Christmas. So grateful that you are here and so grateful that God is still moving, that He is working amidst the lives of His people. And this morning as we open God's Word together, we're going to be in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2. If you want to take your copy of God's Word, you can turn there. And, you know, I was thinking this morning that sometimes the answer that we get is not always the answer that we are looking for, right? And I was reminded of that a couple of weeks ago. I had the blessing of taking my father-in-law, Carson, who was over here. I asked permission to share this from him, but I had the blessing of taking him to speech therapy a couple of weeks ago. And we had a great time. I picked him up and we went out there and I got to kind of go in and see how that was working and kind of what happened in his therapy. And he had had a couple of years ago, he had had a small stroke. And in that, some of the words at times were hard for him to pull up. Like he knew what he wanted to say, but couldn't quite get it out. And so this speech therapy awakens a part of your brain that is affected by that. And so it's super cool. So they'll ask him things like, tell me the opposite of something. And so the lady will say hot and he'll say cold. And then, you know, we kind of went through some of that for a bit. And I'd taken my computer and I was tinkering away over beside them. And she asked him, she said, Carson, she said, what did you have for breakfast today? And he sat there for just a second and he said, Cheerios and eggs. She smiled, and he smiled back, and she said, well, Carson, did you make those eggs? Nope. She said, well, Carson, who made the eggs? He sat there just a second, and he looked at her, and he said, the chicken. And it wasn't the answer she was looking for, but I want to tell you something. It was the best answer. And it was the answer that gave the credit to the one who was due. And we're going to open God's Word today, and we're going to be reminded that God gave an answer in Christmas. And I want to tell you something. It was an answer that that no one was looking for, right? But it was the answer that every one of us needed. It was the answer that all of us needed. We go into this Christmas season, man, it's been a blessed day already, celebrating the birth of our Savior. And we go into these moments, and the reality is that sometimes in the midst of all the presents, in the midst of all the family gatherings, in the midst of all the good things, that somehow our attention can draw away from the main thing. And so we're going to go back to that first Christmas, and we're going to look at the main thing, and we're going to look at this moment where glory came down to earth. Now, from the beginning, we have seen in the video that kind of led into my coming up here. From the beginning, God has been His desire to dwell with His people. We would see in the garden that there was no distance between God and man. We would see this beautiful picture, this beautiful joy that was experienced there. But sin changed that. And because of sin, not only did we experience guilt, but there was separation that was caused. And what we see as we look at the tabernacle, we see a gracious God moving toward His people. And they would set up this tent of meeting. They would set up this place where God's presence would dwell. They would set up this place. We would see in Exodus chapter 40 that when Moses would complete the instructions, that the glory of God filled the temple, right? And in the beauty of all that, it was incredible in the details and all the things that were there. But access was limited. There were difficulties about it. Sacrifice was required. And a barrier still stood. We look at this tabernacle and we are reminded that we have a God who is holy. We are reminded that we are not, and a God who desires to be with His people. But that first Christmas, everything changed, right? We would read, and we'd read in Ezekiel that there was a time before that the glory of God would leave the temple. Ichabod, that the glory of God had departed. The house of God became empty. And on that first Christmas, glory comes down. Glory comes not to a building, not to a tabernacle, not to a temple, but it came to people. And it came in the person of Jesus Christ. And it came announced to some shepherds who were out in the field far from God. And the main idea of this place that we're going to see today is that when glory came down in Jesus, that God came near to sinners so that we could come home to Him. God came near to sinners so that we could come home to Him. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2. If you'll stand with me in honor of the reading of God's holy, infallible, inerrant word, we're going to read verses 6 through 11 together. I want to encourage you. I want to speak specifically to men in the room, to families in the room, but to every one of us. I hope that sometime this Christmas season, I hope that on Christmas morning before you break into all the gifts and you begin to do all those things, I hope that you will open God's word to Luke chapter 2 and that you might read verses 1 through 20 with your family and you might reflect on the main thing, on the real meaning of Christmas. Beginning in verse 6 this morning, this is the word of God. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And now all together, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Will you join me in prayer? Holy God, we are so grateful. God, we are overwhelmed, Lord. Just the word of Emmanuel. God, the story of Scripture, God, with us. Lord, your grace is abundant. Lord, your mercy, your goodness to us. God, we're so thankful. Lord, we pray this morning as we look at your word, God, as we reflect on, God, our greatest need and how, God, how you met that in Christ. Lord, I pray that it would cause us to leave rejoicing. God, I pray that it would cause us to leave on mission for the glory of your name. God, I pray, Lord, for people that are gathering in this room. Lord, we've seen people this morning, God, take steps of obedience. They hadn't planned to do as they came in, Lord. And we recognize when we see these shepherds, Lord, that night they weren't looking for you, but God, you were looking for them, Lord, and we pray, God, that there might be some people like that this morning, God, that have come here, God, and that, God, you might speak to them in the power of your Spirit, God, and that you might change their lives forever, God, that you might cause them to be born again into a living hope, Lord. We pray that, God. We think of those in our family, Lord, that are going through difficult moments on the journey, Lord. It did my heart good this morning as I look back and saw Charity, Lord, able to be here this morning, God, after being in the hospital up through yesterday. God, we praise you, Lord, for the healing that you've been bringing to her, Lord. We pray for little Fisher Hodges. God, we know that on Christmas Eve, Lord, he's going to be going into surgery. And Lord, we just ask you, God, to use this surgery, God, to bring healing to his hip, Lord, to his leg. Lord, we pray that you would be in every detail of that, Lord. We know that you use doctors and you use nurses, but Lord, we come declaring, God, and knowing, Lord, you are the great physician, Father. And so we pray, God, that you would do a work in his life, Lord, and that you might be glorified in every moment, Lord. We thank you for your grace to us, for your mercy, and we pray, God, that you would have your will and way in every life here. God, we pray, Lord, that we would leave, Lord, obedient to you, God, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 You may be seated this morning, and so grateful again for God's word. As you look at verse 9, there's a moment that we want to just lean back into as we go. The scripture says, it tells that this angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them. They were in this moment, right? And they were frightened. They were overwhelmed in this place, right? And what we understand is that God's glory and this announcement doesn't come to Jerusalem. It doesn't come to the temple. It doesn't come to the religious elite. In those moments, instead, the glory of God shines around some shepherds out in a field. And it brings me to point number one today. As we look at this text, I want to remind you that God's glory meets us far from him. God's glory meets us far from him. When we see this text, these shepherds, they were so religiously unclean, right, that they would not have been allowed. They couldn't step foot in the temple. Men that were so socially despised, looked down upon, they were avoided, they were outcasts. And I want you to see that our great God, that he comes to those people. When I look through the scriptures, we would see that Jesus would encounter a woman at the well. He would say, I must go through Samaria. He would find this woman, and she was broken, and she was weary. But we would see that our great God, that he comes to the outcast, that he comes to the broken. We would see him encounter Zacchaeus. We would see him come to that tax collector. We would see him and his response of grace to the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, in which he looked in to the face of Jesus. And what I want you to see this morning is when repentant sinners look into the face of Jesus, when there is humility and repentance, I want you to understand you don't have to worry about being rejected. There may be some of you that have said, I wonder if I'm too far gone. I feel like my sin and my shame, that it's too much. Listen, I want you to know that the sinful works in our life, right, that the sacrifice of Christ was sufficient to save all who would believe. And if you'll turn and you'll trust in him, if you'll come in repentance and faith, you'll find a gracious God that will receive you and that will restore you. You'll find a God who takes broken pieces and turns them into masterpieces. And you'll find a people, listen, that will testify of the greatness of God and of his glory. We see Jesus, that he humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death of a cross, that instead of coming, and these shepherds, listen, they're going to be sent to go and see this baby. So this will be a sign for you. You'll see a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. They weren't sent to the priest that was in the temple. They weren't sent to the king that was somewhere on a throne and in a palace, but they were sent to Jesus, to this baby that was born in a manger. We see the greatness of our God, and we see the message that he brings. In verse 10, he gives them this message. He says, listen, the angel says, you don't have to be afraid. He said, because I'm bringing you. He said, what I've come for is to bring you good news of great joy. And he said, this message that I have, it's a message that's for all the people. Now, I don't know about you, but on Christmas morning, I get in my gifts. This morning, one of my favorite people brought me some peanut butter cookies. And I want you to know that when I got those peanut butter cookies and I looked at those peanut butter cookies, I left them in my office. I didn't bring them down here. I want you to know that I didn't bring them down here, because when I look around this room, I understand that there's not enough peanut butter cookies for all the people that are in this room. Some of you on Sunday morning or on Christmas morning, you'll open up your gifts and you'll see some Reese's cups down in the bottom of that bag. And maybe you've got someone in your family that's like my daughter, and she wants to see what everybody got everybody. And so they say, what'd you get? And you look in there and you got some Reese's cups on the bag. They say meant for sharing, but I want you to understand they're not really meant for sharing. Right? That's what we see. And so when you get those things, right, we look at them, we leave them in the bag. But what we know about the gift of Christmas is, I want you to know there's enough for everybody. That the work of Christ, that it is limitless, that what we understand is that we don't have to hoard this. That the scripture would tell us that the shepherds were the least of these. But I want you to know they were the first of these, because the gospel, Robbie Galley would say, came to them on its way to somebody else. And if you've been born again into the family of God, listen, we have a message that is to be shared. We have a message that is for all the people. This good news. And the good news was this: for today in the city of David, there's been born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For the sake of time, we may not turn there, but in Micah 5:2, we would see that 700 years before the birth of Jesus, that it would be promised that from Bethlehem, Ephrathah, that there would be born this Savior. We would understand that there would be the place of his birth prophesied, and he would go forth and be ruler over Israel. And it says that his beginnings were from eternity. You know, we looked at this text a few weeks ago in John chapter 1. The scripture says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among them, and we beheld his glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The beginning of that chapter, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the same was in the beginning, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning. Listen, Jesus, the eternal creator, the one Colossians would say that all things were created by him and for him. He entered into the midst of the brokenness of this world, and he was born a baby. Listen, this is an incredible joy, an incredible story. Jesus didn't begin on Christmas. He was from eternity and he was for eternity. And what we know, this was all within the sovereign plan of God. Caesar, Caesar Augustus, he would think he was Lord, right? And he was commanding all these things. As you read the early part of this text, you'll see in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the known world would be registered. And so they would have to go to their city of origin. They would have to go to their ancestral cities. They would go to this place. And what we would understand is that while Caesar thought he was moving the world and he thought he was in charge, what we see is a sovereign God moving the world in order that this Jesus would be born at the perfect time. In Galatians, it says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem those who were under the law. We would see this precise timing. And I want to tell you something, it was exactly what we needed. Sometimes on Christmas, we'll open those gifts, and when we look at them, we might open it and we think, I can't believe, I don't know what in the world this is for. I don't know why they got this for me. You might have those moments, right? And we teach our kids, some of you have done this, we teach our kids because we've seen the first time they open one of those gifts and it's something that they don't want or they already have or that they would never want. And you can see it on their face, right? They open it up and they have this disappointment in their eyes, right? And so we teach our kids, listen, it doesn't matter what you get. You put on the biggest smile that you've ever had and you say thank you and you just grin and go on, right? But what we understand is this was a gift that everyone needed, right? It's been well said that if our greatest need had been information, that God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, then God would have sent an economist. But our greatest need was salvation and forgiveness, and God sent a Savior. He came as a substitute, and he came to take our place, to pay for our sin, and now through his resurrection put his Spirit in us that he might send us out on mission for the glory of his name. Listen, wherever you are, you might feel like these shepherds. You might feel like you're far from him and that your sin has been too much, but I want you to know that we have a God who comes to the broken, who comes to the weary, and his glory, it meets us far from him. But what we see, point number two, is that God's glory draws us near to him. That's why Jesus came. When glory came down in Jesus, God comes near to sinners so that we could come home to him. They experienced this great, incredible moment. These shepherds, they are invited near. Here's the message the angel gives them. He says, this will be a sign for you. He says, you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. This will be a sign for you. Born to poor parents, lying in a feeding trough. This incredible glory, right? That's not, they're not sent to a king. They're not sent to, they are sent to a king, but they're not sent to a king in a palace. They're sent to this baby lying in a manger. And the shepherds, their response was immediate. Their response was obedience. They don't hesitate. They don't question. They move. They go, right? And this is what we see. If we skip on down to verse 13, as we go through this text, the question that we would find, the shepherds are going to be there. The shepherds are going to see this baby. And then the question is what happens after we come near? What happens after we experience the Savior? What we see, point number three, God's glory sends us out for him. Look at verse 13 to 20. We're going to read those. It says, and suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, praising and glorifying God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. This is what happens when we encounter the living God. When God moves in, right, everything changes. And these shepherds, they're sent out as messengers. They become witnesses of the greatness of God. And this is what happens when we encounter God's glory. It changes us and it sends us out to bring him glory. I hope as we've walked through these weeks, looking at the tabernacle, looking at God's eternal plan of salvation, that we would understand that God's great purpose, right? That what he is doing in the midst of this, the great purpose of his eternal and sovereign plan of salvation is the glory of the Father through the redeeming work of his Son. From eternity past, God's plan has always been that Jesus would come, that he would die in our place, and that he would rise again to save all who would believe in him. And then he would take those people and he would use them to display his glory forever. And if you are in Christ, listen to me, you are part of that plan. His church is part of that plan. And it has been pointing to this all along. God has been saving a people for himself. And then we have the blessing of being part of this story. We have the blessing of being part of a story like the shepherds, where we are changed by his grace and we are sent out as messengers to praise and declare his glory. And here's the progression, right? God meets them in the distance, right? God's glory draws them near through Christ, and then his glory sends them out on mission for his glory. It's an incredible story. It's an incredible way that God works. Ephesians 2, verse 13 would say, we once who were far have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you've been brought near, I want to encourage you this morning. God wants to send you far, and he wants to use you. He takes a bunch of nobodies. I love saying this, right? This is the shepherds tell it better than any, right? God wants to take a bunch of nobodies, fill them with somebody, and use them to tell everybody. And that's what he's been doing. That's what he continues to do in his church. And so this Christmas, I hope that you will stand in awe of the Savior. I hope that you will draw near to him. I hope that as you open the Christmas story, I hope as you gather with your family, that you will be reminded of the greatness of God. I hope that maybe if you're here and you came in and you say, you know what, you've thought that you're so far, that you're too far, I hope that you'll be reminded that his grace will reach you wherever you are. And that grace, listen, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that grace will get you through the hard moments. It'll get you through those times of grief. It'll get you through the difficult moments that you may face along this journey. It'll be his presence that will give you strength, and it'll be his presence that will send you out. And so we're going to worship together. We're going to do that first by going from this moment in the manger, and we're going to direct our attention to the moment on the cross. And if you have prepared, if you are going to take communion today, if you have the bread and the juice, I want to encourage you to take the bread and just place it in your hand as we begin to reflect. And as we come to this table, we are reminded how it is possible for us to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that baby born in a manger lived a sinless life, and he died a sinner's death on Calvary's cross. He gave himself, his body broken for us, his blood shed for us. This table calls us to look back, and we remember not only his birth, but we remember his death. We look back in those moments. Not only do we look back, but we look within. The scripture would call us in 1 Corinthians 11 to, for all those who would approach this table, that we would examine ourselves. And so in this moment, we have this privilege, right? This gift as we come to the Lord's table, that we might look within. And maybe you come this morning weary and you look to him for strength. Maybe you came this morning and you say, you know what, I placed my faith in Jesus, but you came with sin in your life this morning. And the scripture says that if we confess our sin, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we reflect in these moments. We confess our sin. We prepare our hearts to approach the table. The scripture says that we would come in a worthy manner. Not that we would come as worthy people. None of us are worthy in our own, but if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it is his sacrifice that makes you worthy. It is his sacrifice that has brought us near. And so we come in a worthy manner. We come humble. And so in these moments, we examine our hearts. I'm going to give us just a moment just to pause and reflect, and I'm going to pray. And listen, if you are in Christ today, if you're a believer, there's been a time in your life you've repented of your sins and placed your faith in Christ, I invite you to take this communion together. If you've never trusted in Jesus, I want to invite you not to take of this bread and juice, this meal that's for believers, but I invite you to take Jesus, this gift of Christmas that must be received. So in these moments, as we reflect, Holy God, we thank you, Lord, for God, for the finished work of the cross. Lord, we recognize that it was my sin. Lord, it was my shame. It was my mess. Lord, that your word would tell us that Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Lord, we reflect on that work. God, on our salvation, and we come thankful. God, we come, Lord, with humble hearts. But Lord, we come boldly before your throne with praise on our lips. Lord, as we take this bread and this juice, Lord, I pray that we would never, Lord, I never allow a moment like this to just become ritual. God, but we would rejoice in what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll take the bread, Paul would write in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he would say, the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us eat. If you'll peel back the juice, and the scripture would say that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Verse 25 would say, in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let us drink. As we continue in our response to the word of God, we're gonna worship. The scripture would say that that they would leave this moment. After singing a hymn, they would depart. And so we're going to sing together. And it's a moment we can respond. Some of you, you may need to pray right where you're at. Some of you may want to come and kneel in this altar. Just this surrender, this submission to him. You may want a pastor to come and pray with you. We'd love to do that. If you have a need, you come. Maybe there's a moment of surrender, something you've been holding on to, or maybe some of you for the first time just need to surrender to Jesus. Maybe like those shepherds, the Spirit of God has come to you this morning with a message of good news. Good news of great joy. Listen, it came to those shepherds. He said, unto you is born this day. It was a message that was personal, but it was a message that was for all the people. And if the Spirit of God's coming to you today, would you respond just in repentance and faith? You can be saved, forgiven of your sin, and brought near in relationship with our great God. Holy God, we pray, Lord, you'd have your will and way in every life. Lord, may we worship you in spirit and truth, Lord, because you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand with me this morning and be obedient this morning? We've seen people this morning that walked in obedience into these baptismal waters. And maybe that's you, but be obedient this morning.